Five types of signs in the Bible. There are at least five types of signs that I've found, and we want to go through those and show that it's important to know which one you're talking about and not to try to apply the characteristics of one to the rest of them. When we read about gifts and signs in the Bible, we often concentrate on the gifts in the church, the body of Christ. And sometimes people say to us, you're in sin if you don't speak in tongues. But there's much more to it than that. Everyone needs to consider all of what the Bible says about it. There were at least five different categories of signs in the Bible, and when people don't realize that and account for that fact, they make assumptions and statements that might not be true for another type of sign. You know, it may be true for one of the types of signs, but not for the sign to which they're trying to apply it. God gave signs to make Israel believe. And we can see that the Bible says that in these verses. Well, I put the first one. Let's read it. Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. So he's talking to all of Israel, both houses, Israel and Jacob. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Now, right there, you haven't imagined it. You haven't dreamed it up or hearsay about it. You have seen. And what did they see? They saw what God himself did unto the Egyptians. Remember those plagues and when they chased Israel through the sea that had opened up and they got drowned? God did that. You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. So they had a vision, a display of what God would do, what God did, and his power and his ability to keep them. And so verse 5, then, well, let me get that up there so we can see it. Now therefore, in other words, because you saw what I did and am able to do, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So it's like God was saying, you saw what I did for you. Now, because of that, believe me enough to obey me. And we can see the first type of the signs in right there in Exodus still. We'll look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Verse 2. The Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Verse 3. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Verse 5. And that they may believe. Why? Why did all that happen? Why did he have that sign? That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Starting at 6. And the Lord said, furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. So Moses said, I don't think they'll believe me. And the Lord gave him a sign so that they would. You know what? He outdid himself here. He's given him a second sign. The Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Verse 7. And he said, put thine hand into thine bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. So there's a second sign the Lord gave him. And verse 8, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe, and they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the ground, the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So he gives him a third sign, and this one is by faith. He doesn't show it to him, does he? He gives him the ability to do that, though. Moses asked God for a sign, but God gave him three signs. Not going to make something out of the three, but he gave him more than he asked for. And we'll see that there's more to it as we go on, but as if that wasn't enough mercy to show, you can see later in the chapter what God did later on. Well, let's look at it. Let's look at 30, verse 30. Exodus 4, verse 30 and 31. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto him, and did the signs in the sight of the people, verse 31, and the people believed. So that's why God invented signs. That's the reason for signs in the Bible, to get the people to believe. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. So before the time when God put all his promises in writing, he proved with signs what he said in order to give the people reason to believe him. Once it's in the book, we have reason to believe him because we have the Word of God. But that's the reason for the first type of signs, that they may believe. And that was the first type of signs so that Israel may believe. Let's go on beyond that. A little later in Scripture, at the beginning of the New Testament, what's called the New Testament, God showed the second type of signs. And it was through the hands of Israel's believing remnant. Not through Moses' hands, but through the hands of Israel's believing remnant, believing the small portion, called the little flock. They were signs to Israel at large as confirming signs, to confirm what God had told them and taught them, and that God is now over there with the little flock, Israel's prophetic remnant. And that's where the signs, why they weren't having the signs with Israel at large anymore, but they were with the little flock to display and to confirm to the little flock, to Israel at large, that God was working through this new information that the Savior had come and had died. So we're talking about this little flock, the kingdom not coming with observation, but being right there among them, in that group, right within that group. They were standing there, the 12 apostles. So let's look at the confirming signs Starting in Mark 16, verse 17. We'll go the last four verses of that chapter 16. Starting with verse 17. And these signs shall follow them. So we're talking about signs. And it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 18, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. There's the ascension of Christ back to heaven. Verse 20, the last one in this series, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. He was in heaven, but he was still working in his earthly ministry with those that he had preached to and that he had set apart, sent out. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So there are the confirming signs from the little flock to Israel at large. Let's go on a little further. A little later in time, less than 2 months later, we'll put it that way. Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. So, I'm not a man of Israel. He's not saying this to me, is he? Or to any of us. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which he did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. So, at this point, it's Peter, day of Pentecost in the temple, and he's preaching to Israel at large. You men of Israel, he's talking about Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. So those signs confirmed who he was. Look later on in Hebrews. Let's look at what it says here in Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4. Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. 1 Corinthians 12:7. We're not going there. Just confirms that. But there again, there were confirming signs from God through this little flock, believing Israel, the part that believed. Believed what? There were a lot of things to believe, not just believe the covenants that they did through the centuries that they believed, but believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that he rose from the dead. The gospel of God is what it's called. It's defined as such in the scriptures, Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And Acts 17, verse 3 also has it. So, in the recording of God's operations, God did not leave the validating of the message to man's truthfulness or to man's impressions or to man's imaginations of God telling him things. The reason for this second type of signs was, well, look at John 4:48. John chapter 4, verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And that's the way they were wired. Israel was wired that they needed signs in order to believe. So that's the purpose of signs. That's why God sent the signs, for them to believe. So that completes the second type of signs. I shouldn't say it completes it. There are a lot more references and things that went on in Scripture, but that pretty well defines it as far as I can see. Going on to the third, as we go a little further in God's record, of the changes of his workings with man. In Paul's epistles, when we get to Paul's epistles, after the body of Christ began in Acts 9, we see that God showed a third type of signs. And here we see that Christ gave signs to the body of Christ for Israel. And the reason for this third type of signs is in 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Well, we're not concerned with the Greeks right here, but the Jews require a sign. That's the way they're wired. That's the way God created them. Excuse me a minute. So, during Israel's diminishing, whenever you see the body of Christ in close proximity to the Jewish synagogue, you begin to see the third type of signs in the body of Christ for the benefit of the nearby disbelieving Jews. And let's look at those body of Christ signs given during Israel's diminishing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll cover two verses there, starting with 21. 1 Corinthians 14:21. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak. God speaking there. God talking. He says, I will speak unto this people. This people is always Israel in the Bible. It's not that he talks at random or he talks to Gentiles. He says, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. So Israel is the target of these speeches, the speaking that God does. And notice there's nothing in there about sounds other than speaking. It's just speaking. He's giving them a message. And yet he goes on and he says, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. So he had foresight, foreknowledge, I should say, of what they would do. Going to the next verse, wherefore, in other words, because of that, because I'm going to speak to them through men of other tongues, with men of other tongues, wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Let me go through that and leave out the part that's negative. Okay, wherefore tongues are for a sign to them that believe not. To them that believe not. Okay, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. So speaking in tongues was actually Jewish evangelism. It was reaching out to those that still disbelieved that Jesus was the risen Christ, the risen Messiah. Reaching out to them with the truth, the gospel, the wonderful works of God is what. Let's go on. It was speaking the wonderful works of God in Acts 2, verse 11. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues. They recognized what he was saying. It was a speaking. We do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So there was a purpose to it. It was praising what God had done in the days just before then with Jesus Christ on the cross, rising from the dead, and ministering these signs from heaven after he ascended. So this is the third type of signs. They were vindication that God had been merciful to Israel. Not just one type of signs or two, but a third type. He had been much more merciful than they deserved, much more merciful than you or I would have ever been with Israel. So that's the third type of signs, the body of Christ signs to diminishing, disbelieving Israel. Let's go to the fourth type. There's also this fourth type of signs that God showed. The fourth type of signs were signs of an apostle. Definite, obvious, wonderful works done by Paul. Let's look at the verse that shows us there were signs of an apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The signs of an apostle don't particularly have anything to do with the body of Christ. They don't particularly have anything to do with Israel. The signs of an apostle were to prove that God was speaking through that person, that apostle whom he has sent, through Paul. And that was the fourth type of signs, the signs of an apostle. Going on to the last one that I'm documenting here now, anyway, the fifth type of signs is seen in Exodus through Revelation. It's one of the most thoroughly documented signs, types of signs, category of signs in the Bible. The fifth type of signs is the signs and lying wonders and miracles after the working of Satan with all power. And I don't see anything in Scripture that restricts the power of the God of this world to the time of the book of Revelation. I think those signs and lying wonders that are the working of Satan very well can be, and probably, most probably, are working today. They're at work today, especially with people promoting and being enamored by those Westcott and Hort translations of the corrupted Word of God. That corrupted Word of God that Paul condemned as early as his writing of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, that we'll read. 2 Corinthians 2:17, "For we are not as many." There were many doing this. "We are not as many which corrupt the Word of God." Not just talk deceitfully about it. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians 4:2. But here in 2 Corinthians 2:17, he's talking about taking the Word of God and changing it, forging, putting Paul's name to it, corrupting the Word of God. "But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." The words that Paul spoke were inspired, not all of them, but the words for Scripture were inspired of God. "Speak we in Christ." Let's look at some of the many references to those lying, deceiving signs and wonders throughout the Scripture that are in operation today. Starting, and there's a whole lot of them, so it's easy to document because of the volume of the examples, but Exodus 7, verse 11. Exodus 7, verse 11, and then we'll look at verse 22 in the same chapter. But Exodus 7, 11, "Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers," now the magicians of Egypt, "they also did in like manner with their enchantments." In other words, Moses, God had worked through Moses to do which was first. I know flies wasn't first, but that's one of them that comes to mind, that flies were all over the place in that land. And then the magicians copied it. They did the same thing. They had power. Verse 22 in Exodus 7, "And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said." The Lord had told Moses that Pharaoh wouldn't listen. Let's go to Exodus 8, verse 7. "And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt." Frogs all over the place. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." That's yet to happen. Let's look in Revelation chapter 13. We're going to look through several verses here. 11 through 15 we'll read. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And verse 12, and he exerciseth all power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast, the image of the beast, should be killed. Terrible times. Let's look back in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, for a prophecy of what happened right there in Acts, Matthew through Acts. This is Isaiah 8, verse 14 through 19, we'll read. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken. And you can see the sequence of events here that went, you know, from the cross through their casting away in Acts 28. Stumble and fall and be broken and snared and be taken. So he says in verse 16 what to do. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. So that's that little flock in Acts that did believe. Seal up the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. And that's the history. That's the condition of Israel today. They still haven't seen their Messiah. Still don't recognize him, I should say, I guess. Isaiah 8:18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. That's not what we're talking about here. Those were the signs earlier, the earlier types of signs. But he says, let me repeat that. The last two verses here, 18 and 19. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders, for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living, unto the dead, So, there will be a time after Israel is cast away that Israel will seek familiar spirits and wizards. They probably won't recognize them as that, but they will be peeping and muttering, not speaking from God to Israel to make them believe. It'll be peeps and mutters, imitations that don't work. Ephesians. Let's look in Ephesians 6:10, more relating to us. We'll go through verse 18 from Ephesians 6:10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that's what we're talking about here, the wiles of the devil today. He is the god of this world. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Here, look at this. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Just do it, in other words. But Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There's a positive. Truth. Study the truth. Study. Come to the knowledge of the truth. Which you can only do after you're saved. But stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's given to us. That's imputed to us, isn't it? It's not how good you can be, how righteous you can be. It's God's own righteousness credited to you through faith. You believe that Christ died for your sins and God imputes his righteousness to you. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's the gospel of peace? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's Paul's gospel. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation comes before you need it, doesn't it? We need to prepare ahead of time. Shod your feet, get ready with the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And he is wicked. Beware, he's a tricker, a deceiver, a liar. Verses 17 and 18. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. They go together. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Don't give up. All perseverance. And supplication for all saints. So, that's the fifth type or category of signs in the Bible. We've researched at least five types of these signs. And when people study signs without accounting for the various types of signs, there's a danger of lumping together all the signs as if they were all the same. And if you take the characteristics of any one type of sign and try to apply it to any or all of the other types, you're making assumptions and you're making errors by ignoring their differences. That does not work. The five or more different types of signs have different characteristics for different purposes. And it's amazing how many people think that they have studied tongues when all they've done is they grab one or two occurrences that they find in part of the history of changes recorded in the Bible, and then they extrapolate that to be for all people to practice at all times, regardless of the conditions for which those tongues were confined. It might be considered that I'm going beyond the scriptural admonition, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I'm trying to prevent them from being uninformed, at least. They may be ignorant, deciding to ignore this, but maybe this will be the time when one of them will stop ignoring God's word and start honestly, thoroughly, rightly dividing it, studying it to be approved of God, not ashamed. Always take notice of who's being addressed in each verse in the Bible, and always identify to whom each pronoun is referring. You are not every you that's written in the Bible. When it says you do this, That's not always you. Most of the time it's not, in fact. Most of the time it's the nation of Israel before they fell. Only in Paul's epistles do we find most of the time that you is you and me, people that can believe the gospel and be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So that's what I've got prepared for the five types of signs in the Bible. Time for questions, comments, whatever.